For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Jeff, we're taking everybody behind the curtain here for a moment. In just a second, you're going to hear from Jeremy Chinn. But, Jeffrey, so did the update play?
Yes. I don't know why you didn't hear it.
Is Toby doing it live?
Yes.
Okay, maybe that's why we're not hearing it. So to me and B-Mitch, it just sounds like the music is playing, and we were like, oh, man.
We got a news dance to the song.
Yeah, people got to be wondering what the hell is going on as they drive around in their cars.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what was up with that.
All good. To caffeinate today, so far I've had it's so hot out here that I'm only drinking about half of these things. How much would you say Diet Pepsi I've drank?
That's about half.
And then I might be hitting the wall on this Dr. Pepper. What do you think?
That's less than that. You drank more of the Dr. Pepper than you did the Pepsi.
Well, it's colder, and I'm chugging it.
Take it to the head, dog.
I'm not really a soda chugger. I feel like that's a one-way ticket to Hiccupville. Brian, it's been a good day. I think you see Dan Quinn really making an impact on this team from a motivation competition side.
Mm-hmm.
What to you at this point on August 15th is the biggest kind of storyline facing the Commanders?
The biggest storyline? I still believe the biggest storyline is the competition at quarterback and the secondary. Because I think they are somewhat sure of who their beef is going to be. I don't know if they're 100% sure who the total safety or cornerback receiver core will be.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, when I look at it and I listen to the coach, he's talking about competition at receiver, and he's definitely talking about competition at safety, for sure. So I think, to me, that's the biggest, because you basically know the linebackers, per se. You know basically at least two full lines of D-line.
Right. I think you know the starter of your safeties. I think Quan, Chinn, and maybe Percy have kind of established themselves.
But I'm saying,
you're talking that, like down the
that
line.
That competition
right?
level is what's behind it. And then you watch, like, but no, the story is competition.
Yeah.
You know, he mentions it daily, and when you talk to players, they mention it. Well, so that is something that has stuck with them from everything he said. They understand that it's going to be about competition.
Competition is the mantra, competition is the message. Commander's safety Jeremy Chinn sat down with Brian and I and said how much the competitive mindset is impacting this football team. B-Mitch and I were just talking about it. We both watched the Jets practice, and then we watched today. This looked like really good work for both teams.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like it. You know, it's always nice going against somebody else, a different team, where you're going against your own teammates since OTAs. So it's always good working these joint practices.
Dan always talks about putting you all in tough situations and things of that nature. How do you react to how he's changing up different groupings and things like that to make sure you find out what guys can and can't do?
Yeah, I think it's been really well as far as switching up different personnel, guys mm-hmm. working with different guys. And being in different situations, just seeing how our defense can gel together under whatever circumstance we're thrown at.
So as you guys come down here and face a team like Miami with just track speed all over the place, Dan, before practice, said he likes to put you guys in almost more difficult situations on days like this than he necessarily will in games. What was it like going up? I mean, Tyreek's running around. You got Tua slinging it to him. I mean, there's a lot of talent on that Dolphins offense.
Yeah, I mean, there is for sure. I mean, it's great work. Like with all the movements they do, the motions and stuff, you know, it really keeps us disciplined with our eyes and certain techniques. So, I mean, no, they have a very explosive offense. They got track stars all over. They got a 4x1 team. So being in these situations, man, it's only going to help us.
How do you see this growth of the team has been going from the beginning to now? Because, you know, as media people and fans, we look at it, we think we know. But you're in it. You know exactly what you think, how the growth is going.
Yeah, yeah, man, I think it's going really well. Anytime, like, a team travels like this, I mean, this is the second week in a row we're away from home for 3-4 days. Mm-hmm. So just being able to be around each other, you know, eat dinner together, spend time in the hotels, you know, be around the city, whatever, just spending that time together, I really think it just it gels us together really well.
What's it like? I mean, you've been in the NFL for 4 seasons. What's it like to travel this much in the preseason? Is that different, weird? Do you like it?
I mean, I've traveled a little bit in previous years in the preseason, but, I mean, I do like it. Like I said, it only makes the team closer at the end of the day. So when you can have that before the season starts and just kind of have a rhythm and know how things on the road are going to be, it feels pretty good.
Well, and then getting an off day in Miami might not be the worst thing.
Exactly, right?
I mean, tomorrow, though, I'm sure you guys are locked in meetings, all sorts of stuff. Yeah. Do you get to, like, at least get out for a dinner or something?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, tonight we got a little bit later curfew.
Good.
So this will be, like, our dinner night, hang out a little bit. But, nah, it's always great. They take care of us. We got time to be human beings, so it's nice.
You
got
to talk to the rookies. Like, yo, I know we're in South Florida, but it's still a work trip.
No, they've all got good heads on their shoulders, man. So we'll make sure they're looked after.
Speaking of the rookies, Samardzija. So, I mean, you see where B and I have been sitting. And when you guys opened in team drills was in that red zone goal line stuff with the starting defense out there against that Dolphins offense, and looked like there was like a double fire blitz, and then Samardzija is on the long kind of drag with Tyreek and just makes a play on the ball. Like, what's it like seeing a rookie like that, no fear, going against Tyreek Hill?
Man, I love it, man. I love it. He's got a great head on his shoulders. He's competitive as hell. He works his ass off, so I'm really excited about him. I'm really happy that, you know, he's with us, and I think he's going to have a hell of a year.
That's the kind of rookie that makes you not have gray hair. Well, you don't have to worry about it.
He's a great rookie, man. He brings snacks. He brings food on the plane. So, I mean, every box he takes it.
See, some people welcome it, JP.
What kind of snacks?
Man, the meeting rooms is full. It's full with snacks, whether it be honey buns, candy, chips. I mean, he takes.
He makes sure the veterans are taken care of.
He's done ordered smoothies for meetings and stuff.
That's awesome.
During camp, he brings Chick-fil-A onto the plane. So, I mean, he does everything. He'll have a good Christmas for sure.
That's good to hear, dude. What's it like for you after 4 years in Carolina, where the last couple of years had to be pretty rough? You know what I mean? Where now you get this fresh start, and these guys clearly wanted you, identified you in free agency. How do you feel going into a season? This is your first season, you know, after a rookie deal, after where your career started.
Yeah. Man, I'm super grateful for this opportunity just to be able to work with the people that are in Washington and be able to see me and recognize me and know what I can bring to the table and see that. So I'm super appreciative of the opportunity that I have. And I'm super excited, man. It feels like a revival for myself and my career. And I know I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
That's great. People ask you sometimes your predictions. I'm not going to ask you a prediction. What's your expectation for the team this year?
My expectation?
Mm-hmm. It's a different way of it acts. Yeah.
man, really, I expect that this team continue to grow together and push each other. And I know we continue to do that every single day and continue to take pride in that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I just know that, you know, the sky's the limit for us.
Definitely.
Now, we've got Jeremy Chinn joining us now live on The Fan, Commander Safety. We asked you about Mikey, who's a rookie. We're going to ask you about another rookie.
Right.
Jaden Daniels, number 2 overall pick. You know, you played with Bryce in Carolina. Like, what do you think of Jaden, both in how he carries himself as a rookie and just the performance on the field?
Yeah, I mean, he's very confident, like the way he carries himself. But he also has a level of humility, too, as well. Shout out Ocho Cinco, man.
Are you guys boys? Clearly?
Hey, clearly, you see what's going on. Come on. Jaden, man, he's super confident. As he should be, man. He's worked very hard to be where he's at. And he's also a hell of a competitor. I think guys really gravitate to him just because they see how he carries himself, that humility, but also that confidence as well. So it's easy to rally behind him.
And then just when you're going through practice against him, what stands out? Because I notice the quick release and for a young guy to never be scared to throw to a spot.
He doesn't put it in Holmes' way neither.
Before a receiver's even making a break.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that's that confidence. You know, I can't tell you where it comes from, but it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Dude, you're so nice to join us, and we don't want to keep you too long. I know you got meetings and probably want to cool. What's next? Cool tub? Cold plunge? What do you do?
I'm about to get a lift in right now.
Really?
Yeah.
And are you guys, do you have a walkthrough with them tonight, or was it just the joint?
What you should do is go lift with them, Jay. We can film that. We'll go viral, I promise you.
I don't know that Jeremy and I are quite lifting the same amounts.
I didn't say lift the same weights. Just do the same routines.
I have asked Chad to get me a program before.
All the weights are overrated, man.
What do you like to do? Are you a resistance guy?
You want to know the truth? I do Pilates a lot, man. Like,
really?
I love Pilates. I still lift weights a lot. But Pilates, man, it just has my body feeling so good. Just the way I can move, my core.
Might make him a better golfer. See? You
golf?
There you go.
I'm saying golf.
Okay.
You need to get those hips a little tight.
My hips, I'm externally rotated. Too,
yeah.
And I need to work on my internal rotation.
We can get you on a reformer.
Shakira, say hips don't lie.
Hey, man. Men lie. Women lie. Not hips.
Don't.
Well, dude.
Appreciate you, Jeremy.
Jeremy, thank you so much, man.
Hold on.
Let me see this real quick. Compete every day?
Yeah.
Is everybody wearing that?
They should.
If they don't wear it, they better live it, right?
Right, exactly.
Is that the message every day from DQ?
I mean, that's what we come here to do, man, compete and win everything that we do. So, I mean, I think the mantra of this camp is just to compete, and that's what we want to do in everything, compete on the field, in the weight room, in the training room, in the meeting rooms, just compete, just whether it be with somebody else or with yourself.
There you go.
Hey, man, thanks very much. I really appreciate you making time for us.
All right, bro.
Really enjoyed that interview. Yep. Just a guy that's focused on the right things. That's a guy that was I think he got stuck in a pretty bad kind of circling, like that Panthers situation got worse and worse.
Yeah.
Rule gets fired. They bring Reich in. Steve Wilks. Reich gets fired. You know, Rule gets fired. Steve Wilks kind of writes the ship. Then they fire
him.
Then
they get rid of him.
They bring in Reich.
Then they got rid of him after 1 year.
Yeah, I mean, it was just – we don't know what stability this Dan Quinn group will have, but it sure seems pretty stable.
It seems a lot more stable than what he just dealt with.
Sure. Kind of going around the league real quick, some bummer news, I would say, out of Buffalo. Matt Milano has been really good for – a long time, but just struggled to stay on the field. Milano, what, he tore his bicep?
Yeah, he's kind of like that kid, what was it, Lee in Dallas?
Yeah, Sean Lee.
Was always hurt. And Matt's starting to get those little bang up a lot, too.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I don't know what the Bills are going to be, but did you see that graphic I dropped in the chat last night? I saw this last night and couldn't help but think about it. And this is overly simplistic, I understand, because it doesn't measure games played or touchdowns thrown or anything else. But the most turnovers in the NFL since 2020.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
I mean, Buffalo will go how Josh Allen goes, and there's no denying how great he can be. Some of the throws he makes, some of the way he runs, shows reckless abandon with his body. Like, Josh Allen can absolutely be great, but he has 14 more turnovers in the last four seasons than the next closest guy. And the next closest guy isn't very good in Derek Carr.
Okay.
Josh Allen has 75 turnovers since 2020. That's four seasons. That's a lot, man.
The question I would ask is this, okay? We consider him top five, right?
Yeah.
So consider him against the other four people that he's compared against.
I mean, I think it's fair to compare. Like, to me, it's Mahomes, and then you can argue Allen.
They consider him Mahomes, Burrow, probably Herbert.
Lamar.
So you put them, and you compare him to them.
So this is where the straight numbers get tricky, is that Lamar and Burrow have played a lot fewer games. Allen doesn't miss time.
I know they played a lot fewer games, but on top of it, he has 75 plus.
No, he's at 75.
Okay. So it's 75 or more. They put 75 plus right behind it.
Yeah.
Nobody else is in the 70s.
Right.
It's him.
Like, to me, I don't think people should, but people do make the comp between Allen and Mahomes. I don't think there's any comp.
Mahomes has 54. That's 20-something less.
Now, and that's in about the same amount of games.
Same amount of games. And then Mahomes have played in how many Super Bowls?
And
so
1-3.
Those 21 interceptions or so.
Fumbles.
And fumbles. That causes a lot of mishaps for his defense. Has to be on the field more. Or they get out there, interception or fumble in the territory, and now other team get it in the red zone. It screws up stuff. So when you are a guy in the top five, you should not be at that high when it comes to turnovers.
No, man. Like, to me, the guys that are worth comparing here would be Goff, who usually plays every game, and Pat, who usually plays every game. Like, Lamar is at 51 turnovers since 2020, but he's also missed probably almost a full season. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he missed at least 14 games over 2 years. And then if you want to, like, continue to extrapolate that, Dak missed a full year, Russ missed half a year, Stafford's missed time, Kirk had 53 and went down, what, week 7 of last year? Like, all the rest of these dudes have missed time.
Dak missed 14 games. You think he had 25 more turnovers?
No, but I'm saying that he could have been the next tier up.
I'm saying he could be the next tier up, but I'm just saying.
Allen's numbers
stand out. Allen has a tier, then there's nobody in that next tier. And then the next tier is three people.
I'm with you. Yeah. That's why I wanted to point it out. The numbers stand out. I don't know that this is the best way to – what I'd like to see is one of those charts that, like, show, like, games played to turnovers. You know what I mean? Just to give it a little more context. But we can talk about Matt Milano and losing Steph Diggs and all these things in Buffalo. He's got to protect the ball better, period. Mm-hmm. And then maybe that's when they break through and they can really win a Super Bowl. Because he's got unreal talent. Real quick, before we have Brendan Porath join us, what do you think of the Judon trade to Atlanta?
They weren't going to pay him.
Will Atlanta pay him?
Probably will. They made the trade knowing what he wanted and why he was having a problem now. I don't think Atlanta wants to go through what the Jets are going through now with Reddick.
What the Jets are going through with Reddick, just when you think the Jets have everybody on the same page, they don't, and they got more S. Listen, Brian and I love football. We talk about football 95% of the time. Brian and I love golf, and we talk about that probably 30% of the time when we're off air. Coming up next, our guy Brendan Porath joins us from the Fried Egg.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitchell Finley live, Miami, Florida. Looking at Hard Rock Stadium, it appears nobody is currently jumping the fence to get in there. We'll see if they get the same crowd for the Copa America final.
That's the Copa America final.
You don't think preseason game 2, Commanders Dolphins, will get the same passion?
Nah.
Our buddy Brendan Porath about to join us, but I want to start real quick on something, Brian. You and I always support athletes getting paid the most they can.
Yes.
So shout out to Alicia Newman, who has made over $150,000 on OnlyFans after going viral for winning the bronze medal and twerking at the Olympics. I just want to congratulate.
Hey, get your money, Alicia.
All right. One man who always gets the money.
Hey, Jeff, how much did you give her?
Jeff's a subscriber. Our boy Brendan Porath joins us now from the Fried Egg. Brendan, we are sweating away in South Florida, dude. How are you?
I'm good. Not bad. It's actually not too bad in D.C. for August right now. It is better than Memphis, where the golfers are, though, which is brutal right now, as you can imagine. So
I subscribe to the Friday email. It's the perfect amount of golf content for a nerd like me. Three times a week keeps me up to speed. I don't know if you wrote it or it might have been Andy. I'm not sure who it was, but explain to everybody why on earth, because the FedEx Cup used to kind of go between, like, New York, Boston, and it was like they tried to chase the good weather this time of year, and now they're playing in Memphis.
Well, it's money, as most things in professional sports. The origin story or the motive behind it is money. FedEx is based in Memphis. They have sort of their thumb on the scale. They are a sugar daddy of the PGA Tour, or one of them, and they wanted to bring it home. The event in Memphis was sort of a sleepy, snoozy event the week before the U.S. Open that not a lot of good players or top-ranked players would play. They had it there, and they were sponsoring basically the entire PGA Tour season with this FedEx Cup sort of contrivance or contraption they created in 2007. It's not that old. And they decided to move it to Memphis. The Tour Championship's always been in Atlanta.
Right.
Whether it should be is a separate question. I think, obviously, Atlanta should probably have a professional golf tournament. Whether it should happen in mid-August, separate question. I don't think it's ideal. The course is so-so. It underwent a significant restoration, renovation by Andrew Green, who I know you're familiar with, JP.
Yeah.
But it should be better this year. It's just, in the kind of pursuit or answering to different sponsors, which is the thing you have to do when you're a major professional sports league, they've lost some real major markets, and it doesn't make any sense when you look at the schedule. There's no event in Philly. There's no event in New York. There's no event in Chicago. There's no event, regular event in D.C.,
yep.
To name a few. And it just, especially around in Boston, add another one. Especially around the playoff time when maybe it might be nice to go to New York or Boston, even Chicago. It's odd that you've moved around so much and lost those completely off the schedule.
How much money is FedEx paying them?
That's a good question. It ranges. It's in the hundreds of millions of dollars per year. The payout
and
let's go to Memphis.
So where is the playoff this year? So it's Memphis. Is it Cherry Hills? Are they going to Denver next?
They're going to Denver, but not Cherry Hills. They're going to Castle Pines in Denver, which has had professional golf, you know, when I was a kid a long time ago. But that'll be interesting. They're going to hit it, you know, 450 yards at 6,000 feet right. elevation or 6,500 feet. So that'll be next week and then back to Atlanta. And they've moved it all around, right? They don't want to go up against regular season NFL football, certainly college football on Saturdays as well in Atlanta. So they have moved it to be done by Labor Day. But it's sweaty, man, going to Memphis and Atlanta in August.
Totally.
So they play this thing year-round, well, the FedEx Cup supposedly year-round. Do they get points for their seeding in this tournament?
They do not. So they get points in every single event, some more than others. And then the top 70 points get into the playoffs starting this week. They cut down to 50 for next week, and then the final 30 for the third week.
So the points do matter for the final tournaments, basically.
Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah,
but Scheffler was asking, why do they consider this a year-round thing? Well, you get your points, and if you're not in the top 70, you're going home.
Yeah, the third and final event is pretty goofy, and they've changed this thing so many times, like the format, the amount of points that are available, and it's what, 17 years old now. They've changed it probably 10 times, how the points are made and what the finals look like. The final one in Atlanta is a little goofy. They have a staggered start leaderboard. So if you have the most points after the second playoff event next week, you start at 10 under in the finals. And the last guy, the 30th guy, is starting at even par. And there are just a bunch of different slots in between, six under if you're whatever, 12th or something like that. And that's pretty goofy. And I get that's where Scheffler has a bone to pick. Like, say he's first. Starting that week, he like kind of strains his neck like he talked about or throws out his back. He can't play. He immediately drops to 30th and finishes 30th in, quote-unquote, the race for the season-long FedEx Cup and makes that 30th point bonus pool. I think with him, his problem is with the whole phrasing of race, season-long race. It's a playoffs. If you want it to be a playoffs, like Patrick Mahomes can twist his ankle and he's out. Like maybe the best team doesn't win the playoffs because whoever, Kevin Durant gets hurt or something like that. Like that happens in golf. Like the best player during the season might not win the playoffs. So they just kind of get their wires crossed trying to make it everything and use all the different terms like season long race and the playoffs.
Hey, got to stay healthy. If you don't stay healthy in any sport, that can happen.
Speaking of the wires being crossed, is there any live? Remember, there was going to be this merger. Like, honestly, the real winners in this are the majors, and all of a sudden, we're all into Olympic golf because finally we get to see everybody on the same course.
Yeah, it does not. I mean, Jay Monahan spoke yesterday, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, and it doesn't sound like his job. That's what I told you about people that keep their jobs and move up.
Yeah, yeah, cockroaches.
The subject of debate for sure in the golf world. It's been an amazing power struggle, and the fact that he's gone on has been a kind of a study in sort of wielding power in those struggles. But he spoke yesterday, and someone said, like, hey, you just released your 2025 schedule. Doesn't look like there's any contemplation of live with that at all. Or 26 or 27, is it fair to say, like, you're not very close, that you're not going to be merged with live by then? He said that would be fair to say. And I don't know if he was addressing, like, the 27 hypothetical, 2027, because it could be. Like, there's no – I don't know if they're just waiting for – live to bleed them out or live to bleed out and just keep spending all this money with no real traction. If live needs to put the hammer down and take another ROM like they did last winter, that was clearly a move to kind of push negotiations along and hasten them by picking off ROM. It does not seem like any progress is being made, whether that's by design or by sort of dysfunction within the PGA Tour and their board trying to get everyone aligned.
What a mess. All right, last thing, dude, if you don't mind. Yep. I, earlier in the week, called Matt Kuchar a douchebag, and nobody knew what I was talking about, and I haven't explained it. I believe I'm correct in my assertion, but if you disagree, let me know. But can you just bring everybody up to speed on the BS that Kuchar pulled in Greensboro, please?
I mean, okay, so the hurricane or tropical storm hits the southeast last week. The event in Greensboro, they basically do not play for a day and a half, an insane amount of water on the course. They get 72 holes. They rush to, like, get the course in playable shape. Everyone gets to play. It's the end of the regular season. You got to get it done. And so they get it in shape. Sunday comes. They start the second round. They finish it. They start the third round. They finish it. And they start the fourth round. First time ever in tour history they've done three rounds in a single day. And they're going, they're pushing till darkness. They give them 5 hours to play golf, which would be an insane amount of time at our local course or club. And they're getting to the end. All this Herculean effort to get the course in shape, get everybody off. Matt Kuchar is not in contention. He is in 12th place. He's not going to make the playoffs. He's out. His season is over. And he decides to pick up his ball in the 18th, not fairway, but rough. The 18th fairway. His season is over. It doesn't matter. The winner or the second place player who has a chance to win decides to play in. A guy who could have the power to, like, hey, I'm not comfortable. It's a little too dark. I want to pick my ball up, come back, play it in the morning. Again, that's context for Kuchar. Like, it didn't matter. I get that there was money. Kuchar's made $60 million. He's done some stuff recently, like stiffed his caddy, like legitimately stiffed him in Mexico a few years ago.
I remember and he that. Just he made gave him $5,000 or something, right?
Yeah, he won, like, I forget what it was, in the high six figures. Just a real, like, boneheaded move.
The dude should have decides a lot.
Right.
Yes. And he picks up his ball, walks off, which means the scoring, the grounds crew, the dining, the range staff, everybody has to come back so Matt Kuchar can spend 6 minutes playing an inconsequential finish to 18. And everybody lost their minds. Right,
I
yeah.
I would have told him he had to finish that night.
Yeah, everybody's got to come back. The CBS is like, the hell with this. We're not obviously coming back to televise it. They're done.
Jim
All their guys
kind of dunked on them.
No, yeah, they're like, we're not. And honestly, I've heard from the guys playing with him. The guy who actually had a chance to win was like, it was ridiculous. He wasn't in line with it. It was like, if anyone had a right to kind of like, hey man, this is not the perfect conditions to play in, and I could really win this thing. It was him, and he was like, no, Kuchar was ridiculous. He's out of line. And Kuch kind of has a little bit of, like, he does this aw shucks thing, but he's pretty sort of self-absorbed. And it was a mind-blowing, as you said, D-bag move by Kuch.
Yeah.
Well, he could just change the name from Kuch to Douche. That's somebody should just be there. And next, on the tee box, right. Matt Kuchar.
That'd be so amazing. The tour that just kowtows to every player. Just the starter and John Deere next year. Yo, we got to get you on before the Browns game. How you feeling about your Brownies?
Deshaun Watson's the quarterback. I don't know. I don't feel great. We'll see. We got a lot of talent. We just need him to play. Like most – most teams, you need your quarterback to be good, and Deshaun's been pretty hit or miss so far.
Apparently, Brandon Ayuk was not interested in Northeastern Ohio, though.
I don't know. That's his fault. I could see him being not interested in maybe the quarterback situation, but that's the land of paradise, Northeast Ohio.
Thanks for the time, brother. I appreciate it, man.
All right. See you guys.
All right, man. That's our guy, Brendan Porath from The Fried Egg. Check out a lot of great content. If you're into golf, those guys do a tremendous job. Fried Egg, Brendan Porath, he's got the Shotgun Start podcast. When we come back, we got to make some bets.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Are you tired of those lackluster cooling systems? Well, it's time to switch to Rood and feel the difference. Thanks to the IRA Act, you can score up to $2,000 in tax credits on select heat pump systems. And Maryland residents, there's exclusive rebates from Rood just for you. Personally, I've upgraded to 3 Rood 18-series inverter heat pumps to stay cool at my house. Rood keeps me comfortable while I'm chilling at home or hosting game day parties with the boys. So beat the heat this season and visit Rood.com. That's R-U-U-D.com to see why they're the MVP of cooling. And remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
Have you seen when he did the Tiny Desk concert for this? Juvenile said, I'll do a. He's like, what is NPR? What is Tiny Desk, the concert? If this gets 10,000 retweets, I'll do it. Have you seen that video?
Mm-mm.
It's incredible. It's just incredible. Imagine Juvie's crew at NPR, like that batch of hipsters. And it was. When worlds collide, Jeff, greatness happens. The opposite of that is news that has just emerged that the whole world is retweeting. Andrew Marchand, we've had him on the show before, mm-hmm. is a sports media reporter for The Athletic, maybe for The New York Times. No, The New York Times owns The Athletic now, so still The Athletic. Andrew Marchand reports ESPN has fired Robert Griffin III, per The Athletic. I can't say this is a shock. Robert's online behavior is like increasingly provocative. But he is really good at calling games.
Yeah,
we do know that he.
But
had
you
been
can't
replaced.
Be doing stuff that's going to put them in a having to be a, like you're a liability to him.
You know, he had been, I think, replaced on Monday Night Football by Jason Kelce, and then increasingly this summer, I noticed it when Robert threw a tweet out there that was like, "Yo, any Redskins fans out there still want the name back? This is a safe space." And I'm just like, that seems like engagement farming. Obviously, there was the photo with the croissant, which I just found bizarre.
Very.
But if I had to guess, Robert had a tweet within the last couple of days going at Paul Feinbaum about his attacks, I would say, on Florida State. And that is kind of like an ESPN legitimacy thing because a lot of people think ESPN played too great of a hand in FSU kind of getting screwed out of the college football playoff to get Bama in there. I think, like all things, Brian, you start messing with our money, we start paying attention.
Yeah, and I think that happened. Like, and one thing about it, you got to start to understand sometimes you're not bigger than the people paying you. Point blank.
All right, and then last thing, and we can go around the room and then we'll make some bets. Who knows what Robert has coming, right? Who knows what comes down the line if there's a new gig. But if Robert makes some big announcement now that he's fired, what are the percentage chances? Because a lot of his social media stuff has been wacky. What are the percentage chances he was trying to get fired? I'm just saying it's a non-zero. I got it at like
3%. I doubt if he was trying to get fired, but I think when you feel like somebody's about to fire you or you feel like you're being disrespected, you normally take more chances.
Jeff, chances Robert was trying to get fired.
I don't think he was trying to do anything. I think that's just him. The croissant joke was a reach. He just seems like one of them corny guys that just try to force jokes. Just pick the, you know, giving you opinions about football.
But you know one thing about the real world? They got to pay him the rest of the years of that contract.
Yeah.
So he getting paid no matter what.
Tobo, chances he's trying to get fired?
I don't think he was trying to, but that podcast he's doing is about to get real wild now that he's not employed at ESPN.
Yeah, but the one problem, when you go wild, the people that listen to you for the regular stuff get turned off. So you never know. Brian, clearly trying to make a tea time. Let's make
No. I'm trying to see. I lost my little thing. Heard it here first.
What, your credential joint?
Yeah.
Well, the good news is you don't need it.
Gather around.
Who's in charge of this today, Jeff or Toby?
Jeff, man, let's get into it.
All right, Jeffrey.
Landini, he did not hit his bet. He's sitting at 1-2. JP, you and I bounced back on the week. We're both sitting at 2-1.
The hit it from the back, and then it bounced back.
Yeah, nah.
You like that Big Sean line or not?
B, you sitting at 2-2, and tonight
I can't drop Big Sean lyrics. What the hell?
Yeah, some things you have to give context before you just start saying it. Okay.
You said we bounce back.
Yeah, and tonight I'm gonna take the Philadelphia Eagles 1+ passing touchdown.
Ooh, Jeffrey. I'm going to present a comment from the stream with no context. Lacrovius Acrophis just dropped in there. Yeah, pickle them. So whatever you want to do with that, B. Sight unseen, I don't even know the number. I know there's an NFL game tonight. I know that it's the preseason. Under 34.5. Bang. What you like, B?
I don't know.
Toby, you want to make
a pick? I forgot what I did last night. Jeff just said I lost.
Yeah, I'll make a pick for landfill. Minnesota Lynx -8.5 over the Mystics.
Jeff, who I took last night?
You took the Giants, and they got spanked.
Okay.
Is this the Mystics' first game back since the Olympics? It's got to be, right?
Yeah, it is.
I feel like they haven't played in a while.
Yeah.
Hey, Toby, I'd like to offer you a job. Would you like to be the official baseball correspondent for the B. Mitchell Finley program?
I would love that.
Okay, it comes with
Toby, give me the Twins tonight.
No financial reward and just an added responsibility, which is usually me texting you about 90 seconds before we
Jeff,
have to
Jeff, I'll take
baseball.
The Twins it's and the Phillies -1.5.
The patented image, last second parlay, baby. You could book that every day. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. We had a lot of people on the stream today. Thank you everybody that watched the program today.
Phillies -1.5, not the Twins. Just so you know that, because I know you're going to try to throw some stuff next time.
Big thank you to all of our guests today. We appreciate Bobby Belt calling in, Brendan Porath calling in. Thank you to Jeremy Chin for joining us. Thank you to Commanders PR for setting that up. Serious thank you to Dolphins PR and the staff out here at Baptist Health Training Complex.
They were fantastic.
They really were, man. They really were. And thank you to David Harrison for joining us. I know we didn't do Bleep You today. If you have a list of Bleep Yous you need to get off your chest,
let's make do sure them tomorrow.
You can tweet those at Jeff, directed at Jeff. Say Bleep Jeff and just let them really have it. Grant and Danny coming your way next. You made it this far. I owe you a beer. Have you seen when he did the Tiny Desk concert for this? Juvenile said, I'll do a. He's like, what is NPR? What is Tiny Desk, the concert? If this gets 10,000 retweets, I'll do it. Have you seen that video?
Mm-mm.
It's incredible. It's just incredible. Imagine Juvie's crew at NPR, like that batch of hipsters. And it was. When worlds collide, Jeff, greatness happens. The opposite of that is news that has just emerged that the whole world is retweeting. Andrew Marchand, we've had him on the show before, is a sports media reporter for The Athletic, maybe for The New York Times. No, The New York Times owns The Athletic now, so still The Athletic. Andrew Marchand reports ESPN has fired Robert Griffin III, per The Athletic. I can't say this is a shock. Robert's online behavior is like increasingly provocative. But he is really good at calling games.
Yeah.
We do know that he
has
been replaced.
But you can't be doing stuff that's going to put them in a – having to be a, like you're a liability to him.
You know, he had been, I think, replaced on Monday Night Football by Jason Kelce. And then increasingly this summer, I noticed it when Robert threw a tweet out there that was like, yo, any Redskins fans out there still want the name back? This is a safe space. And I'm just like, that seems like engagement farming. Obviously, there was the photo with the croissant, which I just found bizarre.
Very.
But if I had to guess, Robert had a tweet within the last couple of days going at Paul Feinbaum about his attacks, I would say, on Florida State. And that is kind of like an ESPN legitimacy thing because a lot of people think ESPN played too great of a hand in FSU kind of getting screwed out of the college football playoff to get Bama in there. I think, like all things, Brian, you start messing with our money, we start paying attention.
Yeah, and I think that happened. Like, and one thing about it, you got to start to understand sometimes you're not bigger than the people paying you. Point blank.
All right, and then last thing, and we can go around the room and then we'll make some bets. Who knows what Robert has coming, right? Who knows what comes down the line if there's a new gig. But if Robert makes some big announcement now that he's fired, what are the percentage chances? Because a lot of his social media stuff has been wacky. What are the percentage chances he was trying to get fired? I'm just saying it's a non-zero. I got it at like
3%. I doubt if he was trying to get fired, but I think he, when you feel like somebody's about to fire you or you feel like you're being disrespected, you normally take more chances.
Jeff, chances Robert was trying to get fired.
I don't think he was trying to do anything. I think that's just him. The croissant joke was a reach. He just seems like one of them corny guys that just try to force jokes. Just pick the, you know, giving you opinions about football.
But you know one thing about the real world? They got to pay him the rest of the years of that contract.
Yeah.
So he getting paid no matter what.
Tobo? Chances he's trying to get fired.
I don't think he was trying to, but that podcast he's doing is about to get real wild now that he's not employed at ESPN.
Yeah, but the one problem, when you go wild, the people that listen to you for the regular stuff get turned off. So you never know. Brian clearly trying to make a tea time. Let's make
No. I'm trying to see. I lost my little thing. Heard it here first.
What, your credential joint?
Yeah.
Well, the good news is you don't need it.
Gather around.
Who's in charge of this today, Jeff or Toby?
Jeff, man, let's get into it.
All right, Jeffrey.
Landini, he did not hit his bet. He's sitting at 1-2. JP, you and I bounced back on the week. We're both sitting at 2-1.
The hit it from the back, and then it bounced back.
Yeah, nah.
You like that Big Sean line or not?
B, you sitting at 2-2, and tonight.
I can't drop Big Sean lyrics? What the hell?
Yeah, some things you have to give context before you just start saying it, okay?
You said we bounce back.
Yeah, and tonight I'm going to take the Philadelphia Eagles 1+ passing touchdown.
Ooh, Jeffrey. I'm going to present a comment from the stream with no context. Lacrovius Acrophis just dropped in there. Yeah, pickle them. So whatever you want to do with that be. Sight unseen, I don't even know the number. I know there's an NFL game tonight. I know that it's the preseason under 34.5. Bang. What you like, B?
I don't know.
Toby, you want to make
a pick? I forgot what I did last night. Jeff just said I lost.
I'll make a pick for landfill. Minnesota Lynx -8.5 over the Mystics.
Jeff, who I took last night?
You took the Giants, and they got spanked.
Okay.
Is this the Mystics' first game back since the Olympics? It's got to be, right?
Yeah, it is.
I feel like they haven't played in a while.
Yeah.
Hey, Toby, I'd like to offer you a job. Would you like to be the official baseball correspondent for the B. Mitchell Finley program?
I would love that.
Okay, it comes with
Toby, give me the Twins tonight.
No financial reward and just an added responsibility, which is usually me texting you about 90 seconds before we
Jeff,
have to
Jeff, I'll take
baseball.
The Twins and the Phillies -1.5.
The patented image, last second parlay, baby. You could book that every day. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. We had a lot of people on the stream today. Thank you everybody that watched the program today.
Phillies -1.5, not the Twins. Just so you know that, because I know you're going to try to throw some stuff next time.
Big thank you to all of our guests today. We appreciate Bobby Belt calling in, Brendan Porath calling in. Thank you to Jeremy Chin for joining us. Thank you to Commanders PR for setting that up. Serious thank you to Dolphins PR and the staff out here at Baptist Health Training Complex.
They were fantastic.
They really were, man. They really were. And thank you to David Harrison for joining us. I know we didn't do Bleep You today. If you have a list of Bleep Yous you need to get off your chest,
let's make sure tomorrow.
You can tweet those at Jeff, directed at Jeff. Say Bleep Jeff and just let them really have it. Grant and Danny coming your way next. You made it this far. I owe you a beer.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.